Roll down tide.
From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, this is the Beer Garden presented by Oxford Crystal.
I'd like to hear a little bit more conviction in your take, though. There was a lot of maybes, a lot of what ifs, a lot of questions. You need to just get on here. You need to fire and put me in a position where I have to tell you that you're wrong.
And now, here's your host, Neil McCready.
Nice. Nice.
Welcome to this edition of the Oxford Crystal Beer Garden. I'm your host, Neil McCready. Today on the show, John Hamm of the franchise in Oklahoma City, also part of a new podcast there in Oklahoma City that we'll talk about a little bit as well, part of a podcast with Fred Katz, Royce Young, Andrew Schlecht. Kind of an interesting podcast theory that they're using. Not theory, it's not the right word. Model is the better term. A podcast model that I suspect you'll hear a lot about, probably not from us anytime soon, but just in general, probably start seeing a lot of it. It's $4 a month for real insider information. And so we'll talk about that podcast. We'll talk about the Thunder adding Carmelo Anthony, the NBA training camps underway. Just a little general NBA talk here on a Friday in late September. Happy birthday to my mom. She turns 29 again on Saturday, so happy birthday, Mom, if you're listening. Let me tell you first about the Oxford Crystal. It's Highway 6 West in Oxford. We tell you about the Pick 5 all the time. Go in. They've got the spicy chick now. You can get it. You can get the regular chick. Mix 5 for 5. They've got 49-cent wings all weekend, this weekend there at Crystal. The breakfast, as always, fresh eggs, no powdered stuff. Try those French toast sticks. They're fantastic. And now the new pumpkin spice milkshake or hot cocoa. Everybody wants pumpkin spice. You can get it at the Oxford Crystal as well, Highway 6 West in Oxford. We're coming to you from the Clark Ford Studios. Call the Clark Ford, 662-257-1900. Call that number. Ask for Corey. Tell Corey what new Ford you're looking for. He'll send you a quote within 15 minutes and business hours. It's going to be a great deal. It's going to be your best quote. Take our word for it. Take the word of so many of our podcast listeners who have purchased from Clark Ford, and let Corey and the people there at Clark Ford take the hassle out of the everyday car buying experience. At the end of your deal, tell Corey that you heard about Clark Ford at the Beer Garden, $500 off the bottom line from Clark Ford in Amory. We're coming to you also from LB's Meat Market, 2008 University Avenue in Oxford, 662-259-2999. All the fresh cuts, pork, sausage, fillets, bone-in ribeyes, chicken, everything you could want. They have a lunch catering menu as well. On your left, they have a beer fridge. Grab six. Tell Greg Jones and the people there at LB's that you heard about LB's on the Beer Garden, and that six-pack is just $6. Six craft beers, $6. Can't beat that. The podcast is also brought to you by Strategic Partners in Media. It's a full-service advertising and PR firm doing business throughout the country. They work with companies of all sizes, from Fortune 500 companies to local startups. What they do is they find out what your business needs, what you're going through. Are you going through growth? Are you going through crisis? Do you need an advertising campaign? Do you need a communications plan? They figure it out. They set you up. They always find the right path forward. To learn more, email austin@strategicpartnersmedia.com. We're brought to you by Captain John Fryer and Tuna Chaser Charters in Biloxi, Mississippi. John handles inshore and offshore fishing expeditions from 4 to 12 hours. He knows where to put you on the fish you want to catch. Speckled trout, triple tail, inshore trips are popular this time of year. Get in touch with John. His website's tunachasercharters.com, his Facebook page, or 228-348-7817. Podcast also brought to you by Comer Heating and Air. Comer Heating and Air has been serving Oxford and the surrounding area for the past 26 years. They're excellent. I don't know what else to tell you. They're great. You need air conditioner work. You need duct work. Whatever you might need, they can take care of you. They're an American standard dealer, but they work on any maker model. You get same-day service, estimates on new units, preventative maintenance contracts, and more. It's comerheatingandair.com. Mention you heard about them on the podcast, $20 off, 662-934 3846 for Eric, 662-832-8749 for Shane. Now let's go to John Hamm. Let's talk some NBA with John Hamm with the franchise in Oklahoma City next on the Oxford Crystal Beer Garden. So, John, just like you thought, the season's about to roll around, and Russell Westbrook, as expected, in a Thunder uniform. So is Paul George, and of course, so is Carmelo Anthony. Just sort of business as usual there in OKC as you guys get ready for the 10th NBA season there. And what's so funny? I mean,
I don't. I've tried to hold back and let you finish.
Carmelo Anthony in a Thunder uniform. That has to look weird this week, huh?
Yeah. You know, I was asked on Monday morning on one of my radio hits, you know, were you surprised by this? And I said no, and they didn't believe me. But there was, I wasn't surprised the Thunder pursued him because I had even been told back at the trade deadline, you know, the Thunder checked into that possibility, and supposedly at the time Carmelo Anthony wasn't interested in coming to Oklahoma City. And then of course Bill Simmons had also tipped off that the two sides were, you know, circling each other. And I think I might have mentioned here, if not elsewhere, I certainly did, that, you know, Oklahoma City wanted to make another significant trade. But I was skeptical, as were a lot of people around here, that he would waive the no-trade clause and come to Oklahoma City. And he has, and it's still a little weird, to be honest with you.
So I think we should probably go back and really evaluate the James Harden trade right now.
And
that's probably the best way to really delve into Sam Presti. Sam Presti turned, and I mean no disrespect towards any of these guys because they all played more NBA than I'll ever play.
Yeah.
But he turned Victor Oladipo, Enes Kanter, who's a great offensive player and an equally bad defensive player. And then a bunch of guys. I mean, I guess it's possible DeMontis Sabonis will be a really good player one day. I don't think it's probable, but it's possible.
Sure.
McDermott is what McDermott is.
Yep.
The Bulls' second round pick, which will end up being 35th-ish pick in the draft.
Maybe even 31. I mean, it's a virtual first round pick, but Chicago shouldn't have just willingly gave it away in the first place.
And the elite players who get drafted at 31 in the NBA, I mean, it's Draymond Green in that range and then nobody.
Yeah, right. Few and far between.
For Carmelo Anthony and Paul George. Yeah. I mean, the NBA Executive of the Year award is done.
Yeah, you know, that's the thing. The Executive of the Year, I've always had a bit of a problem with that because building a team is a multi-year thing. But it's always been awarded, you know, based on individual, you know, success in that particular season. More than likely, yeah, Sam Presti is going to have a whole lot of people campaigning for him this year, assuming these guys actually click and come together. And, you know, that's not a guarantee. I kind of think there's reason to be optimistic about it. But if it comes together, sure, he's in that conversation.
I know you guys had your media day. I've heard everybody talk about it. This has to make Russell Westbrook happy, right? I mean, maybe not so happy that he signs an extension, but it has to make him happier than he would have been if he went into another season of Russ and a bunch of dudes.
Yeah. You know, on media day, I mean, everyone was smiles, of course. And comparing to last year's media day, of course, people were in a good mood last year, too. Some people are just naturally that way. With Russ, it almost felt just a little bit forced because it was kind of like it's Russ's team now. So it seemed like he was really I don't know. He didn't strike me as incredibly comfortable going around and kind of dapping guys up and everything. But this year, I mean, I tweeted about this. I mean, he made a point right off the bat. You know, because he was asked about his extension, and he was like, "I've been busy this summer. You know, I just had a baby." And anytime he talked, and actually, he didn't have the baby. We need to clarify that. It was actually Nina. But anytime he talked about being a dad, he just lit up. And talking about the team, he was just smiling and just kind of giddy. And yeah, I think there's a number of reasons why Russ is on cloud nine right now.
So that extension sitting there, 5 years, 200 and. $208 million, whatever, more money than I'll ever see in my life. It's it's sitting there. Yet he hasn't signed it, which he has until I think October the 16th at midnight to sign it. It doesn't, and I'm, you know, I don't think the contract has to be rewritten or anything. But he hasn't signed it yet. He's a different bird. I mean, you're around him a lot. I just watched from afar. What's the just kind of general sense around that organization going into the season? Do they feel like here in the next couple of weeks he's going to say, "Hey Sam, where's the pen?" Or do they feel like he's going to go through this year? And because, man, I mean, that, you know, if he doesn't sign it, there's a lot that franchise has a lot of momentum right now. But if he doesn't sign it, that's kind of a it's kind of a poop sandwich a little bit.
It kind of is to come this far after everything that's been done. And then getting training camp and then say, no, I'm not going to take the extension. It would raise some eyebrows. So I've been trying to get some clarity on this. And, you know, not necessarily – I would love it if Russell Westbrook would just kind of sit down and explain his thought process. It's just not going to happen. Everyone in the organization that, you know, has been talking has expressed cautious optimism. We keep hearing that for months and months. You've probably heard that term used – and not only when I speak, when Royce Young speaks, when Lee Jenkins speaks, you know, to the point to where I started to think, okay, well, do we not need to be cautiously optimistic because it hasn't happened yet? I kind of thought it would have happened by now. In defense of that, Russ can get this exact same extension next summer. Other guys that signed that, you know, long-term, that designated veteran exception, James Harden, John Wall, those guys, you know, benefited by doing it now. They locked in some money they, you know, might not have been able to tap into later on down the road. Russ is going to get this same offer next year, or he can negotiate a shorter deal, or he can negotiate for a no trade clause. Like, there are legitimate reasons why he might want to wait. So I think the bigger question to me is not so much whether he signs the extension or not, is he committed to the Thunder organization? Because he can go to free agency and still, you know, return. That's always an option. And that's more what I'm looking at. And I'm still getting positive indicators there that that's the case.
You think that he signs it, or you think that he goes through a year and then signs it?
I think either way. Either way, you know, I think he's going to let management know whether he's committed to Oklahoma City long-term or not. And if he's not, if he goes in and says, look, I'm going to be completely honest, I'm going to look around and probably lean towards leaving, that's going to change, you know, a lot of things in the Thunder front office. What I suspect is whether, you know, is that he is probably going to be content being Oklahoma City, probably, you know, commit to being in Oklahoma City, whether he signs the extension or not. Like I say, it really comes down to, does he want a different type of contract than the one that's being offered with some of those caveats I mentioned earlier?
Assuming he stays and this goes fairly well, I've thought some of the comments from Paul George are fascinating in camp, and it might be just Paul George being on a winning team for the first time in a while. It might be Paul George just being a nice guy. It might be Paul George just wanting his new town to like him. I doubt if he cares a whole lot about what you media guys think. But,
right.
I mean, he has made some comments that, man, if he doesn't give the Thunder any serious consideration, the comments will look funny 9 months from now.
Yeah, you know, I've been describing it as, you know, first day back at school, or, you know, the first week at your new job. You're getting that kind of giddiness. And it's not just like one random comment that people are glomming onto. I mean, he's given, like, Sam Amick from USA Today, like, a lot of, you know, a lot of statements that indicates, you know, a willingness to stay here in Oklahoma City and, you know, happiness with what's going on so far. And yeah, you know, it's the sort of stuff like you can go ahead and put it in your notebook or, you know, bookmark this stuff, because that might come back for you to use against them later potentially. But I honestly do think that he is willing to give this a shot here. You know, probably the trade was an initial shock, and now he's in and he's kind of seeing what this is all about. And I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that, you know, that he leaves. And again, there's a lot of time between here and July 1st next year. So a lot of time to make a positive impression if this group of guys actually, you know, clicks and makes some real progress this year.
How much of this is screw you, Kevin Durant?
to an extent, I would not be shocked if that's part of it. You know, I think it's that, again, the Warriors as a whole, I think that probably there is kind of this desire of, okay, they need to be taught a lesson. In order to do that, you know, we've got to band together a little bit to make that happen. But yeah, I mean, especially considering Kevin's comments that he made on Twitter accidentally in the third person or otherwise.
He's had a weird summer.
Sure has.
A weird offseason for a guy that just won a championship and was the MVP.
Sure has.
What have you taken out of that? I mean, what do you think? I mean, if it's me, right, and if you're thinking like a normal person, you moved on. He earned free agency. He left. He went where he wanted to go, or supposedly. Mm-hmm. It works out. He wins a title. His team doesn't win that series without him, probably. You get the finals MVP. You walk off the floor. Yeah, your old running mate wins MVP, but you got the ring. It's an opportunity, I would think, at that point to sort of look like the bigger guy. And instead, he gets caught looking petty time and time again.
Yeah.
Why do you think that is?
I question some of the advice he's been given along the way. I don't think his people really understood or prepared him for what the national reaction was going to be. Because, look, it's not just a bunch of bitter Oklahoma people, you know, that are coming at him on Twitter. I mean, you can go find pretty much any thread and look at the people calling him a snake or, you know, bringing up the joining a 73-win team. And those people are posting from Houston, Texas, New York, Minneapolis, Minnesota. I mean, like, you know, all over the U.S., and I don't think his people really prepared him for that. And, you know, you're right. The best path would be to just not even respond to it. And instead, he's releasing sneakers with stuff on the bottom that literally steps on the words that people said, or I don't know. But ultimately, as far as why he left, the other thing, too, is like Durant seems to come up with new reasons all the time. So if everything's a reason, then nothing's a reason, right? Was it Westbrook or was it not? Was it the coach? Was it not? Was it you wanted to develop yourself into a new man or whatever that was or not? I mean, seems like every excuse under the sun's been thrown, and when it doesn't stick, it just kind of moves on to the next one. I don't put a whole lot of stock when he comes out and tries to explain himself.
I think it's clear. He didn't want to leave. His people wanted him to leave. He's not his own man. They made the decision. That's my theory.
Could very well be. And look, I think talking to some people, and I haven't got, you know, like a fully formed picture of it. I wouldn't be surprised if that wasn't part of it. If the people around him, or, you know, the companies that sponsor him, that pay him more than his NBA contract, might have had a greater influence on this. And yeah, just people basically telling him, You've got to win titles. And so, you know, look, it happened. And I just don't think that he was fully prepared for the blowback. I thought maybe he felt like if he went through and won the title, won the MVP, it would shut everyone up. And it's just only made everyone a little bit louder. And he's not helping matters by feeding back into it.
So Kevin Durant leaves Oklahoma City, but Carmelo Anthony chooses to come. And I know it wasn't his first choice, but that's really not the point. He wanted to go to Houston. Mm-hmm. He said earlier this week that he thought there was a deal done, and for whatever reason, it fell apart.
Yeah.
Last week, he says, all right, I'm willing to go to Cleveland. I'm willing to go to Oklahoma City. The Thunder get the deal done. And then he probably still could have said, nah, I'm going to stay here. Screw it. I'll play in New York. We'll suck, but I'm in New York. He said,
right.
He said, I'll go. And he got on the plane, and he's in Oklahoma City. that changed the narrative around that franchise a little bit, because for the longest time it's always been, well, you had to grow them inside because you couldn't get the free agent to come. Pau Gasol didn't come. Mike Miller didn't come. You couldn't get those people to come. Well, Carmelo Anthony, I know it's not a free agent deal, but he could have said no.
Right.
And he came. Does that change the way that people inside the organization feel about the organization?
You know, there's that. And I mean, like, everyone inside the organization is confident, I mean, in themselves. And, you know, even though they've gotten shot down at numerous occasions, I mean, there's always been kind of a, well, yeah, but sort of reason to it, you know. Well, yeah, but this was Kevin and Russ's team. So, you know, people were hesitant to come in and, you know, try and get involved with that. And, you know, various other plausible explanations, I suppose. But there was also, you know, the realistic thought that, look, it's Oklahoma City. And you and I have had this conversation before. You know, it's not a free agent draw. But when you've got Russell Westbrook, and I mentioned earlier, Carmelo Anthony didn't want to come here in February, reportedly, or at least, you know, kind of what I heard. You get Paul George, take that risk, and now suddenly Carmelo Anthony is willing to come here. So, you know, sometimes it's about taking that chance. And I felt like I think they were in position where they had to do that. It was either that or the possibility that Russell Westbrook was going to walk in and say, I can't do last season again. I've got to get out. So they took some chances here that probably they weren't comfortable with in the past.
So on the floor, and I know we won't know for a while, but you watch a lot of basketball. On the floor, how does this team, how does it work? Is this, everybody talks about Olympic Melo, and obviously he's not playing with an Olympic team, and he's not playing against an international team. I know what people mean, though. They mean it's a lot of spot-up deep shooting, which he's great at. He's 43% or something like that. I mean, he's fantastic. He can create off the ball. Paul George is obviously a ball scorer. The same for Westbrook. It probably frees up space for Adams. It lets Roberson be a defender, and as long as he's not clanking free throws, he's really not a liability at this point offensively. I kind of like their team, but I mean, some things have to fit. Your opinion, when you look ahead, assuming health, assuming that, you know, they develop some chemistry over the course of the year, is this a team that can challenge? Can A, challenge Golden State? Well, I should say A, get to the Western Conference Finals. And B, is this a team that could challenge the Warriors, or is it still not enough?
I think there is talent there to present, to give Golden State a little bit of heartburn. Let's say that. Certainly, I think they're in that conversation for the other spot in the Western Conference Finals. Because, yeah, I mean, if you look at it, just the talent on the floor, one of the reasons why, you know, yes, Carmelo Anthony is a name and was an all-star last year, kind of questionably, but, you know, 12-time all-star, 4-time Olympian. But, I mean, in Oklahoma City's research from last season, they found that Russell Westbrook creates a lot of open shots for players. And Carmelo Anthony is very good at catch and shoot opportunities. So it should open up a lot of things for him. There's a lot of stats that show that when Carmelo Anthony puts the ball on the floor, his shooting percentage goes down. You shouldn't have to do that as much. Not with with Russ and George there. So you've got that. Yeah, I think Roberson is going to be a guy that they can involve more in screening and get him involved that way rather than running something that winds up with him parked in the corner and other teams basically driving the basketball to him. They've got, if you look at the bench, there's right off the bat, there's three very experienced guys. Well, two very experienced guys in Felton, Patterson, and then an up and comer in Abrinas, as well as Jeremy Grant. This is a team that's probably going to be, if there's buyouts throughout the season, it's probably a team that is going to be in the market for that. So there's a lot of things about this team that look promising. But again, it's going to be up to those three sort of coming together and Billy Donovan as well and kind of coming together and figuring it all out.
So as of today, this is the second, third, fourth best team in the West?
You know, my gut reaction after the trade, I felt if I had to place money on it now, Golden State number one in the West, of course. I wouldn't be surprised if Houston wins more games. I just think they've got that high-octane offense, good enough defense that's going to win a bunch of regular season games. Now, come playoffs, Oklahoma City, historically, and also with the crew that they have, is probably might be better positioned, you know, might actually be the second-best team come the playoffs. But as the way that I see it, just get in that 2-3. Get in that 2-3 slot. Get out of the Golden State side of the bracket because you probably don't want to face them until the conference finals, unless there's some screwy injury in the first round or something that you could capitalize on. That's completely out of your control. I feel like they're in that conversation. And I know as soon as I say this, you know, San Antonio is going to win 68 games next season. But
I don't see how.
You know, that's kind of what I'm thinking at the moment.
Yeah, I don't see how San Antonio wins that many games. I mean, I know
it's famous
to say they take a step back. Everyone does it, and then they don't. But mm-hmm. I don't see how they don't. I mean, I'm kind of with you on Houston. They're going to have more chemistry off the bat.
Yeah,
I actually think Paul and Harden will work well together. And Paul's such a good defender that I think they'll be a good team. But I don't know. It's interesting. Let me ask you this, and I don't keep you long because I know you've been slammed. I want to get to two things, and then we'll be done. One, you guys are starting the OKC Dream Team podcast. It's I think it's Pantheon.
Patreon.
Patreon, yeah. Excuse me. Kind of a new concept. Some people have gone to it. I'm a subscriber. I love it. Of course, I'm a Thunder fan. $4 a month. It's well worth it for me. I guess just the model there. Kind of what was the concept, and how do you feel it's going to work?
Yeah. So that's. In the OKC market, obviously, the two significant podcasts, or two of the significant ones, are Down to Dunk, which is a podcast that I was on every week as well. Fred Katz from the Norman Transcript hosted Locked on Thunder, would also be a frequent guest on Down to Dunk. And then Andrew Schlecht from Down to Dunk and I were always on Locked on Thunder. And it's like, you know what makes probably a lot of sense is if we just did a pod together. And you know, we talked about it. We liked the idea. We talked to Royce Young from ESPN, you know, about trying to get some contributions from him. And he was on board with, you know, doing what he could. And we just felt like if we've got this, we've got a product, right? We've got Netflix or we've got HBO. We've got kind of a premium product. And none of us are really salespeople to go chase down and get advertisers and maintain that. And so we just thought, let's give this a shot. Let's try the subscription model. Let's go to Patreon, set up a page, basically kind of arrived at a $4 price point. And I'll tell you, so far, the numbers have exceeded kind of what we thought we would have at this point. So the feedback has been great. People are excited about it. We're excited about it because we love getting together and talking about this stuff all the time. So yeah, I mean we're fired up to see, you know, where this goes next because, you know, the season hasn't even started and it's already doing a lot better than I think we thought it would at this point. So let's get into the season, get towards the trade deadline and you know, we're excited to keep cranking this stuff out.
Yeah, your timing, you probably should thank Sam Presti and Carmelo Anthony, but your timing was perfect. And I know a lot of people in my work, my field, your field, we're watching, kind of just curious to see how mm-hmm. it goes, cheering for it. Last thing, NBA Board of Governors putting some thought into, I guess, some rules about resting players. I know last year the Cavaliers came to Memphis. LeBron sat. A lot of people were really disappointed. You know, they bought the tickets. No offense to the Grizzlies, but they wanted to see LeBron play. He didn't play. That happens all the time. Is there anything that the league can or should do regarding that?
Yeah, you know, the first thing was fixing the schedule. That was sort of step one. They, you know, eliminating the four games in five nights and, you know, adding more rest in there, sort of, you know, adding games like on Saturdays, for example, that they probably wouldn't have done as much in the past. And that was step one, adding more rest. And giving teams less of an excuse to rest guys. And I think also, if I'm not mistaken, on the national TV games, there's no back-to-back situations with the national TV games. So you do that first. And then number two, I really hope this doesn't lead to a bunch of back spasms or knee tendonitis. And I'm doing air quotes. People can, you can't see me right now, but I'm doing air quotes as I describe these injuries.
I heard the air quotes.
Yeah, I'm very loud when I make those. So I hope it doesn't lead to that. But yeah, I think it's more of just kind of instilling on the guys like, look, we understand there's a delicate balance here, you know, between rest and there's data behind it between resting guys and playing. But they have to be cognizant of the audience. They have to be cognizant of the guys that are coming out to see them. And I think they're making some positive steps in that direction. So I'm really curious to see what happens this year with some of these steps put in place. How it actually unfolds.
I said last thing. Let me ask one more thing because I'm curious. It's very topical. Mm-hmm. We're approaching another weekend of NFL games. There's been all – you can't – unless you've been living under a rock, you've seen all of the reaction to the anthem and people taking the knee and that kind of thing. I'm on record as saying I'm it doesn't bother me. Peaceful mm-hmm. protest is never going to bother me yet. It's obvious by the numbers that it bothers a lot of people. You are in a market that is pretty conservative. It probably would bother some people there in Oklahoma City. It would bother some people around Memphis. It's all over the country. Has that come up? And did it come up on Media Day? Did players talk about whether that's something that's going to carry over into the NBA when that season begins?
Yeah, a lot of players were asked. And surprisingly, I don't think one player is pro-Trump. I mean, Russell Westbrook went as far as to say that he would never agree with anything that he has to say. So, they were all a little cautious with their wording, talking about, obviously, I mean, trying to clarify, respect the country, respect the flag, respect what the military has done that allows us to live that, the life that we leave, but also trying to remind people that there's some real issues out there. And that's what this is all about. Is trying to raise awareness and get people to recognize all these other bad things going on out there and sort of where this all was born from. So they were very open about it and talked about it some. But yeah, I mean, I don't think you're going to see the kneeling in the NBA. It doesn't seem to be the way that they're going to handle it. They're finding other ways, I think, to try to get their message across.
Yeah, it'll be really interesting. I know you're busy. I really appreciate the time. The season starts in about 3 weeks. I'm excited about it. I can't imagine how excited people are about it there. So again, thanks for the time and hope to visit with you soon.
You bet, man. Thanks as always.
Good luck on the new venture. Talk to you soon.
Yep.
Again, our thanks to John Hamm for his time today on the Oxford Crystal Beer Garden. Podcast brought to you by Journey Business Solutions. Currently, Ben Brown and his team are looking to hire part-time and full-time sales team members across Texas and the Southeast to join them. They offer extensive training, support, and the best products and pricing in the industry. Whether you're looking to supplement your income or find a better career opportunity, email Ben at benbrown@journeybizsolutions.com. They have an exceptional uncapped commission structure and are an equal opportunity employer. Again, BenBrown@JourneyBizSolutions.com. That does it for this podcast. That does it for our week here on the Beer Garden. Our thanks to Mike Dettillier earlier in the week, John Hamm today. We'll be back with you next week. The baseball playoffs will be set. We'll preview them. We'll continue to look at the upcoming NBA season. And, of course, it is football season. As we head into October and the meat of the college football schedule and starting to get near the, the quarter pole in the NFL. So we'll talk about all that and more next week on the Oxford Crystal Beer Garden. Until then, have a great weekend. Thanks for joining us.